In the parable of the great dinner, which is a little bit later in Luke's gospel, in fact, it starts the next verse and will be the lectionary passage next week, a dinner host learns that guests that he has invited are starting to decline the invitation. And so he commands his servant, well, if they won't come, go out into the lanes and the pathways and invite from the streets the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. In the parable, the servant says, okay, that's been done, and still there's room. And so the one throwing the banquet says, go back and compel them to come in, because this table must be full. In God's kingdom, friends, there is always room. Room for more. In God's kingdom, there's always enough. There's always enough. There's always room for him, for her, for them, for you, and for me. The house is God's house. The table is Christ's table, and the invitation is for all. Know that there is room, enough room, ample room, room for all. Room in the Sunday school classrooms where tables and chairs welcome students. Room in the fellowship hall. Room in the gym. Room in the pews. Room in the choir loft. Room at the table. We always have room. If we ever run out, we'll build bigger buildings or have more services. There is always enough. Jesus doesn't say, if people want to come to your church, let them come. Doesn't say that, does he? He says, you who are the church, you go from the fellowship and you invite them. Yea, you bribe them, excuse me. You compel them to come in. You encourage them. You make a place for them. I had a favorite seminary professor who used to say, in the church, none of us are volunteers. We're all draftees. Inviting friends and strangers, enticing them, compelling them, encouraging them to join with us in what? In the joyful worship of God and table fellowship. This is the command to each and all of us. A command to go and invite just not the comfortable friends and family and contacts we know, but to stretch it even further and share good news to those that perhaps we do not know or would not normally encounter. And if you're sitting there saying what I said most of my life until I went to seminary, well, that's the pastor's job to share the good news. That's the membership committee's job to help welcome new members. That's the deacon's job to go out and welcome and invite. That's the usher's job. It's helpful to hear Jesus say, when you're baptized and when you belong to the family, it's your job to share the good news, to go out to members, to friends, to neighbors, and especially to stretch that beyond. Think about who compelled you to come to church. Compelled, required, might have been parents, might have been a friend, might have been a neighbor or a coworker. And having been welcomed, is it not your job now to go and invite that others may be welcomed? To whom can you reach out? You who have been caught, now go into the work of catching. Make especially room, Jesus says, for the least, the last, and the lost. He doesn't send his disciples to the halls of commerce or privilege or fame or power, but to the streets, to the places where people are hurting and forgotten and overlooked and desperate. Especially make sure those folks know of God's love and the welcome into the fellowship and the provision of the table. In some ways, Jesus is erasing the social boundaries of unjust divisions because of class or race or nation or status or condition, And he's inverting. Instead, rather than giving special place to dignitaries, give special place to the weakest of those who gather. In God's kingdom, the far off are brought close. In the household of faith, there are no strangers, only friends. Be sure, he says, to invite the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame, the prisoner, the thirsty, the lonely, the naked, the stranger. Treat them as if that's me. The truth is, there really isn't much that separates us from them after all, is there? A few friendships, a few family connections, a few paychecks. So pay special attention to the poor, to the outcast, and make sure there is that place of welcome and celebration for the disabled and the lonely and the hurting. Let this house, let this table be a homecoming for the children of God who feel themselves far off and forgotten in this world. When you throw a dinner party, he says, I don't think he's giving us instruction for how to do our Labor Day gatherings or our Christmas celebrations. I agree with commentator Ronald Byers, who teaches at my old seminary in Richmond. Jesus is not giving literal instruction on how to entertain guests. What Jesus is trying to do is turn the attention of the church from itself and to the struggling, the hurting, the vulnerable, the left out. Let those folks never be out of sight, out of heart, out of mind. Sort of like that blessing at the table where after you give thanks for what you have, you say, and Lord, help us remember those who are less fortunate. That the church, Jesus is pointing to, always make a special place for them. Regarding the invitation to table fellowship, the good news is there's always room. The bad news is filling that space is our work. Don't wait for people to show up. Go get them. Have you ever been fishing and seen a fish jump out of the water and into your boat? It just doesn't happen, in my experience. Okay, in the cartoons. The same is true, I think, for the church. People get connected because there are folks like you who want the best for them and who go seeking them, relationship and invitation, who say, we at the church have a place, have enough, have a welcome, and we want you to join with us. And so I say to you, this day it is fishing season, and coming back with empty nets is not an option for the church, whom the Master sends out to compel people to come and join us for table fellowship and receive a foretaste of the heavenly banquet when they come from east and west, north and south, and sit at table in the kingdom. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.